a roundup of the main business news from China and elsewhere. This is Global Business.
Coming up on Global Business, strong partnership. Chinese President Xi Jinping emphasizes the significance of cooperation during his meeting with German Chancellor Olaf Scholz in Beijing. Stable economy. China's economy grew faster than expected in the first quarter, with overall stability witnessed in investment, consumption, and trade. And brand power. We take a closer look at the day four of the China International Consumer Products Expo, where thousands of overseas brands are showcasing their latest products. From CGTN headquarters in Beijing, this is Global Business. I'm Lulu Liu. Chinese President Xi Jinping has met with visiting German Chancellor Olaf Scholz in Beijing. She stressed the importance of cooperation among major countries, saying that as the world's second and third largest economies, China and Germany's relationship transcends the scope of bilateral relations and has an important impact on the Asian and European continents, as well as the entire world. She said that the two countries should view and develop their bilateral relations from a long-term and strategic perspective and work together to inject more stability and certainty into the world. Scholz noted that the exchanges and dialogues between the two governments since his last China visit in 2022, adding that the seventh round of German-Chinese intergovernmental consultations in Berlin last June was a milestone of bilateral cooperation. We will get you more stories on China-Germany economic cooperation later in the program. Fresh data on China's economic performance during the first quarter has been released. We'll take a look at some of the highlights. China's economy expanded at a faster than expected pace in the first quarter, according to official data released today. For more details, here's my colleague Olivia He. Take it away, Olivia.
Thanks, Lily. So China's National Bureau of Statistics released data on Tuesday, revealing that the country's economy grew at a faster than expected rate in the first quarter of 2024. GDP expanded by 5.3%, outpacing the 5.2% growth in the previous quarter. The three major economic indicators, investment, consumption, and imports and exports, demonstrated overall stability. Notable figures include a 4.5% increase in fixed asset investment, a 4.7% rise in total retail sales of consumer goods, and a 5% increase in imports and exports, all touching a new high in the past six quarters. Leading financial institutions and banks have revised their 2024 growth forecast for China upward due to improved data and effective policy delivery. Goldman Sachs and Citi now project a 5% growth in line with China's official target. Sixth Financial Information also expects a remarkable rise of China in the quality of growth in the future. Market analysts believe the recent improvements in China's economic indicators are providing fresh motivations for investors to return to China. And that's all from me. Now it's back to you, Lily.
Thank you very much. Now let's get more discussions on China's key economic data for the first quarter of the year, and let's bring in Raymond Yan, Chief Economist of ANZ Bank. Hi there, Raymond. Great to have you on the show with us. First of all, what do you make of those numbers? What do you think are the key takeaways?
I think the market has been focusing on the headline growth, which is a year-on-year comparison. Now, no doubt that this is 5.3% higher than the market expectation. It's also higher than my previous forecast, so I have already revised the GDP forecast for the full year upward by 0.6 percentage point. I also want to draw your attention to the faster growth in the first quarter compared to the last quarter. Now, after the revision, the last quarter has a quarterly growth of 1.2%, but in the first quarter this year, the quarterly growth is now 1.6%, which clearly tells you the economic condition has stabilized. And actually, in some of the sectors, we see a faster growth, you know, in the first quarter, especially in the first 2 months.
And Raymond, how do you think have China's incentive policies, especially those aimed at boosting consumption, unfolded and impacted market dynamics?
Now, of course, that if we just simply look at the retail sales number, that is not very impressive in March. But if you look at the first 2 months, especially in the Chinese New Year, we do see a lot of all consumers are coming back, and they are more willing to spend money, perhaps because of the overall structural reform that allow people or encourage people to spend money in domestic tourism and also some of the affordable items. in the consumption market. So this is a good sign. Now also, we need to think about that some of the so-called the replacement policy to encourage the replacement of cars, automobile, and big-ticket items will continue to evolve over the next 6 months. So it's not that easy to see that in the first 2 months because of the Chinese New Year and also in March after the holiday. But over the next few months, we will start to see some of the impact of this stimulus policy to be revealed in the consumer market.
Now, great insights. Thank you so much, Raymond. Please stay with us for more discussions later on in the program. Switching gears to consumption and trade, the China International Consumer Products Expo and the China Import and Export Fair, also known as the Canton Fair, are currently underway. Let's get connected with our reporters Wang Tianyu in Haikou and Cao Chufen in Guangzhou to get updates on the country's consumption trends and the state of imports and exports. Hi there, guys. So first of all, as the Consumer Expo enters its fourth day, Tianyu, what are the key takeaways regarding the spending power of the Chinese market?
Well, Lily, as Olivia mentioned before, China's economy has expanded at a 5.3% speed in the first quarter. This is out of many people's expectations, including me. But if you come here at the Hainan Expo, you will get the answers and see how many people are around us attending the expo. And, you know, in the last couple of days, many of the senior executives from the global companies here at the Hainan Expo that I talked to said they believe the China's consumption has a huge potential of growth because of the growing middle class. So that's why they come here to, you know, to unlock the Chinese market, as the consumption here has already growing steadily. And also, you know, after the pandemic, Chinese people were eager to spend money on themselves and travel around, but they would like to travel, you know, closer to home, and that will lift the consumption in the domestic market and also, you know, increase the growth in many sectors. And that's why, and they told me that they would like to set up the R&D centers in China to, you know, further better understand the Chinese consumers. Back to you, Lily.
Oh, great stuff. Thank you so much, Tianyi, for bringing us the updates from the Hainan Expo. Now let's switch gears to Guangzhou, where Chufen is at the Canton Fair. Hi there, Chufen. So official data showed that over 60,000 overseas buyers have attended this year's Canton Fair online. Then that represents close to 19% increase compared to last autumn edition. So what are some of the notable highlights you have observed on this front?
Hello there, Lily. Yes, I think one thing I've noticed is the increase of enthusiasm among international buyers. Now, it's only the second day of the Canton Fair, so it's probably too early to say that the total number of international buyers attending the event will definitely exceed the last session, which was held on 4 2023. However, experts and organizers are both pretty optimistic. Now, as of last Saturday, the total number of registered international buyers willing to attend the event and the number of hotel bookings in Guangzhou have both increased compared with the last session. And also, as you've already mentioned, on the first day of the Canton Fair, the number of international buyers attending the offline event has exceeded 60,000, and that's an 18.5% increase compared with the same period of the last session. If you walk inside of this venue, you will see international buyers coming from all around the world. Now, I've talked to some of them, and one thing they told me they love the most about the Canton Fair is the fact that they got to see products from almost every industry just under one roof, and they got the opportunity to connect and reconnect with suppliers, especially Chinese suppliers. And they got to see, you know, the latest creation, latest products made by Chinese suppliers. Some buyers actually told me they are pretty stunned how new products, new creation can come out just about each session of the Canton Fair. Now, the gap period between each session is only about half a year. So you could imagine how quickly Chinese companies can develop new products and come out with new ideas. Another thing is the number we are seeing in terms of the world top retailers coming in as buyers for this session has increased significantly compared with the last session. Now, nearly 200 leading companies such as Walmart, Amazon, Tesco have confirmed their participation, and more than 100 foreign business organizations have also confirmed their participation. This just goes to show how much big companies, big organizations approve of Chinese-made products as well as the Canton Fair. Back to you.
A great insight. Thank you so much, Chu Feng. Please do enjoy the expo. Now let's get more insight on this consumption and trade momentum. Let's bring back Mr. Raymond Yan, Chief Economist of ANZ Bank. Raymond, so what are your thoughts on investor confidence amid this ongoing Canton Fair and high-end consumer expos where trade deals and business agreements are actually being inked?
I think that's reflect that China is still a very, very important part of the global economy, and no foreign seller or foreign business will abandon China because of the bigger and bigger consumer market. So many investors or clients that I've spoken to outside China continue to see a lot of opportunities, you know, in different sectors, especially with the structural reform that will bring more opportunities for value investing. For example, many investors are quite positive and optimistic about the Chinese consumption market. And that is perhaps, you know, the is irreplaceable from the investor point of view. So I think that we need to pay attention to our, you know, conventional assessment about, you know, how many people are attending the Canton Fair, because most of the time it's a foreign buyer to tap the Chinese production. But from now on, because of the bigger domestic economy, and that will only be expanding, and that will be the focus of foreign investor and also foreign business to continue to invest in China.
Well, great insights. And also, Raymond, before I let you go, can I get your outlook for China's economic performance?
I think that overall that the economy for economic performance is very stable with some progress. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that there is no challenge at all. And we know that, for example, looking at the property investment number or property sales number today, we do continue to see a deep and slow adjustment of the property market. And we know that the property market is still a very important part of the overall economy, with a lot to do with domestic demand. So I do believe that even though we are not talking about trying to create another property bubble, but given the fact that even the political leadership also knows about how important the property market is, many of the relaxation measure and supportive measure will continue to support a slow recovery of the property market.
Well, great insights. Thank you so much, Raymond Yan, Chief Economist of ANZ Bank, for us. Well, as we know, the Canton Fair is China's largest comprehensive trade fair in terms of overseas buyers and product categories. NCTN reporter Dai Kai takes a look at the tech incentive products at the fair and how they are boosting China's trade performance.
A barometer and a wind vane, that's how much weight Canton Fair carries for China's foreign trade. At this year's event, we see the venue is as crowded as ever, with exhibitors showcasing over 1 million new products. Many of them are independent intellectual property rights products and environmentally friendly products. We also see exhibitors start with market demand and customers' needs and work backward to the technology and product designs themselves.
I just bought some solar panels over there. It happens to be one of the most popular products at this year's Canton Fair.
So here you can see we have this large 435-watt solar panel. Our customers, they can buy the whole set to the house and just open the box, plug into the wall outlet, so they will be producing the power.
Do you see many buyers at this year's Canton Fair?
Yes, we have lots of buyers, overseas buyers. We have lots of South America customers, also maybe Philippines, Southeast Asia, also United States and Europe.
Right next to the solar panel pavilion we just visited, there are a bunch of EV booths with vehicles ranging from sedans to buses.
Many, many customers from different countries. They are very interested in this electric bus because it's a zero emission.
As you can see, I'm into EV products, and we import electric vehicles mostly. And starting from sedan, SUVs, off-road cars, all of these. And of course, for us, is very good experience coming to China, because as we know, China is the global leading of EV manufacturing. I'm very optimistic, and Chinese infrastructure for EV manufacturing is very good.
They belong to China's so-called new three products, namely electric vehicles, lithium batteries, and solar cells, which have become pillars of the country's exports and are big highlights at this year's fair. Observing those international buyers is clear they mean business, not just taking a casual stroll around. China's foreign trade volume between January and March surpassed 10 trillion yuan for the first time compared with the same period in previous years, with its growth rate hitting a six-quarter high.
With exhibitors showcasing more tech-intensive and high-value-added products in events like Canton Fair, we can expect more fresh momentum being added in China's foreign trade. 大概 CGTN in Guangzhou.
Still to come here on Global Business. Let's check out the brand power as we take a closer look at day four of the China International Consumer Products Expo, where thousands of overseas brands are showcasing their latest products.
The Asia-Pacific's largest consumer products exhibition is back.
Over 4,000 global consumer brands converge
to showcase their latest and most unique products.
We're at the forefront of China's evolving consumer trends.
To show you how businesses are leveraging China's rapidly expanding consumer market for growth.
At the China International Consumer Products Expo.
Chinese President Xi Jinping has just met with visiting German Chancellor Olaf Scholz in Beijing. Scholz is on a three-day official visit to China, marking his second trip to the country since assuming office in 2021. His visit coincides with the renewed confidence of German companies in the Chinese market. A new report by the German Chamber of Commerce in China shows that nearly 80% of the German firms surveyed plan to continue investing in China. And earlier, we interviewed Maximilian Butek, head of the German Chamber. He told us his thoughts on Scholz's visit to China and the future of trade between China and Germany.
I believe that the visit of Scholz is now quite clear what his objections are, right? There are three parts, which is about sustainability, and cooperating in this area. It's about the economy and business, and also the political part where those topics need to be addressed. I believe it's a very good sign that the Chancellor comes to China, and even for such a long period, over 3 days. Also a very good sign is that he's accompanied by three important ministers and also a large, very heavyweight business delegation. I believe that the signs are quite clear. We want to talk about our challenges, but also we want to talk about opportunities and see together how we can solve them. I believe that there are issues which we have to solve and which we have to discuss, and this also we try to address with our own chancellor, but we're also addressing it to the Chinese government constantly, because there are a lot of things we need to improve in order to grow further together. Nevertheless, if we ask our companies, 90% say they are committed to the market, and even 50% are investing further. So this is a quite clear and strong sign that our German companies are committed to the market and want to grow further. And this, of course, will hopefully also utilize then in larger trade volumes between Germany and China.
German company Covestro is one of the world's leading manufacturers of high-quality plastics and their components. And last year, the company's turnover in China stood at 3.1 billion euros, while accumulating the investment exceeded 4 billion euros. Our reporter Aaron Liu spoke to Holy Lei, who is the president of Covestro China, to get his insights on how China-Germany ties will impact the German economy's business operations and future expansion plans.
What messages does Germany companies running businesses in China, like Vastra, perceive from Germany Chancellor's visit to China?
We are very happy to see the delegation now come to China to have a real communication. And then as an enterprise, I think we like to see that, because communication only brings benefits to all the parties. that including us as enterprise. For companies like Covestro, our industry requires a lot of collaboration from supply chain resilience, from technology connections, and that really required the government's strong ties. We are very keen to be circular. To achieve that, that also requires a lot of kind of market to realize that, which China certainly provides us opportunity in terms of fully circular.
Covestro has invested over 4 billion euros in China. How significant is China market to Covestro?
I would like to mention one thing from last year's CIIE, and we showcased our solutions to the China market. For instance, the ultra-low energy efficiency building solutions that including windows, doors, and then walls. And then, you know, we also showcase a lot of recycled material for different applications. The showcase was very, very well received by many different players, voluntary players, including regulators. We are very happy to see the progress in China because all the value chain players are now focused on the dual carbon goal. We are not only participant in the development, we also contribute from our end. At the same time, we also benefit a lot.
And a yacht show was held during the 4th China International Consumer Products Expo in Haikou, Hainan Province, where our reporter Zhu Zhu and Gao Han, who is a reporter from Hainan's local Sansha Television, takes us through the burgeoning yacht economy on the tropical island.
Cheers! Cheers.
Lavish yachts, crystal clear waters. Are we on vacation? Unluckily, we are still working.
We are now right here at the 4th China International Consumer Products Expo in Haikou, Hainan Province. And we are very happy to be joined by Gao Han from Sansha TV. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me invited, Zhu Zhu. And this is my fourth time to attend the Hainan Expo.
Wow.
And this edition of the event, besides the indoor exhibition areas, the organizer also set up an outdoor yard show.
Can't wait to check it out. Let's go.
This year marks the first time the yacht exhibition has been designated as a branch venue of the China International Consumer Products Expo. 80 international brands showcased 120 yachts from countries such as the UK, Finland, and the US. While Wen Zhangyu sees these beautiful coastal views, he thinks about the huge potential for economic growth if nighttime yacht tours can be promoted.
但是现在在国内来说, 我们目前在海南这一块的话，出海还是以白天为主。
In China, especially in Hainan, yacht trips mainly occur during the daytime. However, in places like Europe, nighttime coastal cruises are more popular. Currently, our country's overall policies regarding boating, yacht rentals, and nighttime excursions are still being improved. If coastal yacht tourism becomes more widespread in the future, there is still significant room for the yacht economy development.
Hainan has emerged as a leading province for the yacht economy in China. Last year, visitors engaged in yacht tourism in Sanya in the province marked an over 80% year-on-year increase.
那么像我们陆地上最大的一条艇呢，也是达到
Our largest vessel on land is a Finnish national treasure level yacht. The implementation of zero tariffs for yachts in the Hainan Free Trade Port has facilitated the entry of foreign yachts into the province.
According to a yacht industry development plan released by Hainan, the province aims to have around 2,500 registered yachts and over 1.3 million yacht tourists by next year. Zhu Zhu, CGTN, Haikou in Hainan Province.
Global finance leaders are convening in Washington this week for the annual IMF World Bank Spring Meetings. The gathering is of significant importance for the world economy and is expected to address crucial financial events and trends impacting institutions, borrower countries, private sector clients, and partner investors. CGTN's Jim Spellman takes a closer look at what to expect.
The IMF World Bank spring meetings are underway here in Washington. It's an opportunity for policymakers to assess progress made over the previous year while looking forward to coming challenges and opportunities. The meetings are attended by central bankers, finance ministers, private sector executives, NGOs, and academics. This year's meetings come at a time of heightened uncertainty for the global economy.
It is tempting
to breathe a sign of relief. We have avoided a global recession and a period of stagflation. Some have predicted it. It has not happened. But there are still plenty of things to worry about. The global environment has become more challenging.
Challenges include inflation, climate change, mounting global debt, lingering effects of the pandemic, and the ongoing conflicts in Ukraine and the Middle East, plus trade tensions between major economies, including China and the U.S. The IMF warns of the hazards of protectionism, noting that geopolitical tensions risk the fragmentation of important economies, creating a drag on the entire global financial system. Taking all these factors into account, the IMF expects only moderate growth ahead.
Our medium-term outlook for global growth remains well below its historical average. It is just slightly above 3%. Without a course correction, we are indeed heading for the tepid 20s, a sluggish and disappointing decade.
Bright spots include robust consumption and investment in businesses, the easing of supply chain disruptions, and strong labor markets. And there are potentials for growth in emerging technologies like artificial intelligence, but with those opportunities also come potential risks.
Artificial intelligence could affect up to 40% of jobs across the world and 60% in advanced economies. It could enhance workers' productivity, but also threatens some jobs.
The IMF projects that cooling inflation will set the stage for central bank rate cuts in the second half of 2024. But how fast to cut those rates and how low to go will be major talking points throughout the week. Jim Spellman, CGTN, Washington.
And with that, I'm closing now this edition of Global Business here on CGTN. Thanks for being with us. I'm Lulu in Beijing.